I mean, I was lucky, and some people say I'm lucky, and you know, I sometimes think maybe I didn't take it as seriously as I could have done, or maybe my work commitment stopped me doing it, you know. Because today, I was talking to John Watkins the other week, and somebody asked us a question. We were in the Queen's Head having a meal with some rugby players, we played together with golf that day. And they said, you know, would you like to have played today? And I said, well, you know, I think we've had the best time when we played for making friends. And I said, but the only reason I would like to have played today would be to see how good I could have been with training, the correct diet, you know, the commitment to the game that the players today got, because we didn't really have the time to commit to the game like these players got today, you know. And that would be my only sort of remit on playing today. I mean, obviously, you know, if I played today, I'd be a lot younger. So, I would like to play in this tub of rugby. I think it would have suited me, and I don't think, you know, that people say, well, you know, you wouldn't be big enough. And, well, I was 14 stone when I played. And I played my weight, tackled my weight. I was tackling 18 stone players then. And, you know, with the fitness and the training and the development that I've got, I think if all these players, I mean, look at Gareth Edwards, Barry John, they'd have all played in this game today. Mickey Booth would have played in this game today. Terry Hobson would have played in it. You know, if you got Ryan Lamb can play in it, you know, Terry Hobson would play in it. You know, so I would have liked to have played in this era, just to see that as a professional. And John Watkins, that was John said, although he often talked in this, he said, no, it wouldn't have been big enough. But in his heart of hearts, he knows he would have liked to have tried to play it in this era just to see how good he could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us are like that. A lot are not, but the people like myself and John Watkins who had, we were slightly at times maybe a different streak, or we would have liked to have been able to train and have people get telling us what food to eat, and you know, maybe we wouldn't have drank quite so much, although John didn't, but you know, yeah, I would have liked to play today.
Yeah. Do you come and watch?
I've got a season ticket.
Yeah.
I've been an advocate for years because I was really disappointed. About 14 years ago, they took the old players' ticket away, which has been within the club for over 100 years. And I came to buy my, because when I packed up playing, I donated £250 to the £200 to the 200 club down below when they built that new bar. Because I thought, well, you know, I took a lot. I've enjoyed what I did. I put money back in. It's not a lot of money today, but £200 was a lot more money than 35 years ago, I suppose. And anyway, I always bought a season ticket because it was an old players' ticket. And I've never come down here on a regular basis because I didn't want to be looking back all the time, and it's nice to look forward, and I didn't want people to think I couldn't leave the place alone, if you know what I mean. And I was quite happy to come down now and again to meet mates three or four times a year. But I always had the commitment because I thought we should buy an old players' card. And the one year I came to buy it, and they gave me an old age pensioner's card. And I said, you've given me the wrong ticket. And they said, no, that's what you have now. You have that instead of an old player's ticket. And I said, well, you know, I want my old player's ticket. Yes, you give me the wrong... No, we're... So obviously I understood then that they were giving me an old age pensioner's ticket, thinking all I wanted was a reduction in money. Mm-hmm. But all I wanted was the recognition that I was an old player.
Yeah.
And so I've never bought one until this year, because they have started to recognise old players.
Yeah, well, it's been one of the nice things to come out as a sort of byproduct of our project.
This is what I think.
They've started the
Fireflies. So I brought a four-season ticket, although I probably will be down here 7 or 8 times, but I still think it's probably keeping a lot of old players away, because a lot of old players don't want to pay £300 to come down here 7 or 8 times a year. You know? And maybe they could find a way of doing a limited card, or, you know, because I don't want to be here every week, because I've got other things in my life to do. I play golf, I got family, I got Alexander, Luke, he plays rugby at for Hucker Colt, and my grandsons do. So I don't want to be here weekly. So in a lot of older players like that, but they would like to come down occasionally. And the old player system years ago used to be, I think it was about 40% of the cost of a year's ticket, which wouldn't be too bad. But when you're paying £300 to be an old player, then it's probably, I think, too much. Considering the commitment that they put in and what they had out, because none of us had any expenses, none of us had any, bought any boots, or we bought our own boots, we bought most of our own beer. If we went away, we lost a day's pay and didn't get remunerated. So, you know, a lot of people won't come down and pay £300 after playing 200 or 300 or 400 games for Gloucester, you know. Mm. And I think it's a shame that they could maybe find a way to get a few more old players down here.
So are we going to see another Bayliss playing out here?
Well, my grandson Alex, he loves rugby. My one grandson looks like he might make a player, but he's not a Bayliss, he's a foreign. It's my daughter's boy. He's played in 2 county cup winning teams in the last 2 years. Went to Hartbury this year, and he's a hooker. He was 17-4. He's 17 years old, and they said to him, he was a bit big for a hooker, to train, to work on his weight and his dust. He worked really hard through the year, got down to 16-2, and then they wanted to play in prop. I think he's a Gloucester trend. So he lost all his bulk, and then he just went Hartbury. Then they tried to, because they had 2 international props, but didn't really give him much of a run. He played against the Ospreys at prop. He thought, well, if I play 2 or 3 games, that'll give me an opportunity to play hooker as well, which they didn't. So he's gone back to his school at St. Peter's and going to play in the school's knockout, national knockout. But he's a big boy and very talented. But after forwards, you wait and see, at 17, they've not developed. But he is a good rugby player, and quite proud of him, really.
Have you remained involved with rugby in any way?
I raised money for the Gordon League for a few years, for the club, doing functions and dinners. I've also raised money for cancer and leukemia in children. I suppose through the years, we had Phil Bennett up at the Gordon League and David Duckham, and we've done dinner dances at the Whitminster. And I suppose we've raised between £35,000 and £40,000. For Click and Samantha Dixon and that type of charity. So and that's helped me, because knowing people, I've been able to introduce rugby players to these things. And I was president of the Gordon League for 3 years as well. And this year I'm vice president at the league, and I don't want to be committed now. I mean, I'd like to be able to come here. I'd like to be able to go down to Gordon League, and so I've still got interest, and I've got my little grandson Alex, he plays for school, and Luke, who's played at St. Peter's, so I watch them play. So I'm still interested in the game, in basically nearly up with the modern laws, but not all of them. But I still find things strange and probably looking backwards instead of forwards. But I'm still in the game.
And what other sports have you played, John?
Well, table tennis in the early days, but cricket. Not probably quite as good as Eric, but I kept wicket and could bowl and bat and played for Cripchins and Gloucester I played for early days, and Cheltenham East I played, which were all good standard, you know, reasonable standard. I played Premier Squash, didn't start that till I was about 28, but I played a good standard, not top, but football, early, I wasn't a bad football player. I had the chance to play for Bristol City when I was younger, but the boot money was £2 a week as an apprentice, and £20 a week top money. It didn't offer me any great future. I didn't think you could dig holes nearly in the road for it. You know. And I liked rugby, the social and side of the game. I did enjoy that, so rugby was my love, really. I played lawn tennis, and you know, there's not many I didn't try. Golf is my game at the moment, but I'm pretty mediocre at that. I think I'd be better if it bobbed up and down and I could hit it rather than just sit there looking at me. Yeah, but I love all sport and love watching it, and it'll be my life, always has been.
Was there anything else you wanted to ask about, John?
One small thing, John. How close did you actually come to becoming a rugby league player?
Well, as I now can't get banned, very close. I went up and played at Warrington and was offered terms at Warrington. Played with Ryan Giggs, his dad was played outside me. His name was Jim Wilson. It certainly was Wilson. And a guy from Aberavon was playing at the time, Bobby Wombong. And I played in a match up there against St. Helens and offered terms, but I was self-employed. And it was like 35 pound a match in like 10 quid for a bonus and went. Which I suppose when you're looking mid-60s wasn't bad money against the average working wage, but I was probably earning £100-150 a week in those days in my own shop, and probably spending £170. I did like the game, and it would have suited me, but I did get close, and I was probably the one who did go up and take the option on going up and playing, and I did play in one game. Very lucky that I didn't get thrown out of the rugby union, because I do believe that the game was actually televised, and I was in there as a and other, and a lot of people did say, "I'm sure that was you I saw playing."
So what year was that?
Mid-60s, I mean, 67, I would think. It was something that I'd always wanted to do. But when I got there and realised, you left home, you travelled 150 mile, you played rugby, you trained, which was fine, but you were getting like 40 quid a week. And that was to leave home, you had to uproot your family. I had my own home and, mortgage, but I had my own home, and it just wasn't viable. It wasn't viable at all. The experience was good, and nearly missed out because I had to go in front of the committee when I came back, because rumour had got around that I was, because you got banned even for writing a book. in those days. If you wrote a book, you were a professional, weren't you?
So, yeah.
You know, yeah. So it did come back then.
Who was on the committee then? Who's you on
there? Probably Digger, Reg Collins, Terry Tandy, Mervyn Hughes, probably Dr. Alcock, who was probably president at that time. The guys who built the clubhouse, the original clubhouse, they were builders. Jeremy Dance, he was an architect, Jeremy Dance, he was on the committee. But I think I only went in front of Reverend Hughes and somebody like Reg Collins or maybe Ford, he was captain or something like that, yeah. It was a worrying time really, because I made up me, I would have, you know, I would have been banned completely and nowhere to go.
Yeah.
I think we've covered it all, and it's been really interesting going back and look at the names of these players that we've that I've been honoured enough to play with, and to have something to have the history of Gloucester Rugby Club.
Well, it's nice to think it's brought back some good memories for you. Yeah. Certainly, it's been fascinating for me. I can't believe how the time's flown by.
Well,
so
thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you very much, John.